Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 38, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada, Mrityuhu, Janma, Vatam, Vira, Dehena, Saha, Jayate, Adya, Va, Abda, Shata, Ante, Va, Mrityuhu, Vai, Praninam, Dhruvaha, Mrityurjanmavatam Vira, Dehena Sahajayate, Adyavabda Shatante Va, Mrityurvai Praninam Dhruvaha. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adya vavdashatante va mrityur vai praninam dhruvaha. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate adya abda shabda shatante va mrityur vai praninam dhruvaha. Mrityur janmavatam vira dehena sahajayate abda vabda shatante va mrityur vai praninam mrityuhu. What does that mean? Death. Everyone here knows that, huh? Mrityu means death. Common word in Bhagavad Gita, comes up several times. In Tamil language, is it said? Mrityu, no. They die with another word. Whether you die saying death or Mrityu or whatever it is in Tamil, la mort in French. Whatever language you say, Polski, Niet, Schmet, sounds like a Jewish death. Difficult to pronounce for us non-Polaks. Next word, Janmavatam, of the living entities who have taken birth, Vira, means what? Vira, Vira. Hero, hero. Dehena saha. Along with the body. Jayate. What does that mean? In this connection. Najayate mriyate vakadachin. Means birth. Here, is born. One, so Prabhupada puts in parenthesis here, one who has taken birth is sure to die. Adya. What does that mean? It's a common Sanskrit word. Today, or now. Va means common word. Va means or. Srila Prabhupada is given here. Either. The common meaning is or. It's a very common word, as in any language, I suppose. Abda means year, year. Gaur Abda, Shak Abda. Abda means year. Shata, 100. So here, Abda Shata means of hundreds of years. Of hundreds of years. Ante, at the end, here is given. Va means what? Or, yes. Mrityu, who? Death. Vai means, comes up many times. Prabhupada, in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, or introduction, says we should read the word for word and then you'll get to learn also. So vai is commonly translated as certainly. Here, Srila Prabhupada has given indeed, or maybe Pradyumna gave it, whatever, indeed. Prani nam. Prani means not dead. For every living being, prani nam means. Dhruvaha means sure. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada gives, is assured. Translation, O great hero, who is speaking? Vasudev speaking to Kamsa. O great hero, one who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with the body. One may die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity. Purport, Vasudev wanted to impress upon Kamsa that although Kamsa feared dying and therefore wanted to kill even a woman, he could not avoid death. Death is sure. Why then should Kamsa do something that would be detrimental to his reputation and that of his family? As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the speaker of whom is not yet born, chronologically speaking, Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Here you see again, dhruvam janma. For sure, he'll take birth again. Tasmad aparihariyate natvam shuchitam arhasi. For one who has taken birth, death is certain, and for one who is dead, birth is certain. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. One should not fear death. Rather, one should prepare oneself for the next birth. One should utilize one's time in this human form to end the process of birth and death. It is not that to save oneself from death, one should entangle oneself in sinful activities. This is not good. Om agyana timirantasya agyana anjana shalakaya chakshurin nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama Shreshtam Anumapi Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shrigurum Tam Natosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatath Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shashi Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana raghuna tanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savad hutang parijana sahitam krishna taitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna padan sahagana lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan tina smarane hoy bigna vinashan anayashe hoy nija vanchita puran Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here we have the beginning of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the topmost Vedic literature. very basic spiritual teaching. This is very basic spiritual teaching, isn't it? That everyone who's born has to die. It's very basic spiritual teaching. It's not spiritual teaching at all. It's just a fact. It's common sense of this material world. You don't have to be a transcendentalist to understand that everyone who is born dies. And Kamsa, he might even feel insulted. Why are you telling me? So just saying, everyone knows that, right? Everyone knows that. The sun rises in the west, right? Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that, right? Is that right? Sunrise in the east, is that right? No. That's only from our perception. It's all relative. Conventionally, it is said or understood that the sun rises in the east. But from the sun's perspective, sun doesn't rise anywhere. Whatever you say, we'll catch you out. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing as a logician. Whatever you say, he'll show that it's wrong. And then when the person says, oh, you're right, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will prove how what he said was wrong also. People would avoid meeting him. They thought, I don't waste my time with all this getting humiliated and double humiliated. Anyway, it's common sense. Everyone knows that we have to die. So why is Vasudeva telling that to Kamsa? And why should Kamsa be listening to him seriously? Just like if I say to you, any one of you, that Chennai is the capital of Tamil Nadu. Yeah. Why say that? What's the point? Everyone knows that. What's the point? Why say something which everyone knows? Maybe Abhay Charanaravinda doesn't know. Maybe he does know. I would think everyone else present here knows. Maybe not. You never know. Maybe some of the young kids don't know. They should learn things like that also. But even without being taught it, you just kind of get to know, right? And no one taught me in the school that Chennai is the... It was called Madras at the time when I was going to school, but no one taught me that. But it's just things that you get to know, right? Because it's just like I know that Virat Kohli is a prominent Indian cricketer. It's just nothing to do with me, no interest, but it's just something which I happen to look at the news feed every day, and his name is up there enough times that you get to know. So it's some things that you know. So again, if I walked up to someone on the street and said, Virat Kohli is a prominent Indian cricketer, why are you saying that? Seems very strange, especially Vasudeva and Kamsa. They must be well known to each other. Especially after the marriage alliance, they must be well known to each other. It's common sense, but we have to hear it. It's important to hear. It's not exactly spiritual knowledge, but it's preliminary to spiritual knowledge. It's the kind of thing that spiritualists need to regularly discuss, because spiritualists, by definition, are interested in the world of non-death, whereas this is the world of death. But we are in the world of death, and we tend to take it as normal, and we tend to forget that we have to die, and that our real aim is to go beyond birth and death. And Vasudeva is speaking to this to Kamsa. He's speaking very seriously, and Kamsa is listening seriously, even though he knows this. And he knows that Vasudeva knows that he knows it, but the point is being made, and Vasudeva will go on to speak about karma and getting born again, which means that Kamsa already knows this. But if it's said at certain times, it helps to put things in perspective, which is why it's good to have grounding in the basics of spiritual knowledge for our own sake, that we can remind ourselves when we're about to do something stupid, or if we're considering what to do in some situation, we have to see not just the immediate impact, but the longer-term impact. And even a wise person, materially speaking, would say that. But in terms of the whole cosmic situation, our future lives and the future lives of others. So a devotee of Krishna interacts with others in a manner that is favorable for their future, not just for their present. Conventionally, yeah, you go to the train station, you buy a ticket, and you don't interact with the ticket seller. Nowadays, it's all by machine, probably. If you buy a passenger train ticket, it's probably by machine, I don't know. But in conventional dealings, we tend to deal in conventional ways. We may say Hare Krishna to the person. That's more likely in India that we'll do that, because it's kind of acceptable among most people, more so in different parts of India. If you're in Vrindavan and you don't say Hare Krishna or Jai Radhe, that's unusual. In Gujarat, it's very acceptable. Less so in Tamil Nadu. A lot of people, they don't respond at all when you say Hare Krishna to them. Maybe to Muslims, you wouldn't say that. You can tell who are Muslims in many cases. But we try to interact with others for their ultimate benefit. Kamsa is listening to what Vasudeva is saying, and he's being reminded of what he already knows. When Krishna spoke the same thing to Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it's the same instruction. Srila Prabhupada quotes here, Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityo dhruvang janma mritasya cha. He's quoting from Krishna's opening instructions to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. It wasn't that Arjuna was ignorant of these things and it was a new revelation for him. He was trained as a Vedic Kshatriya. And apart from that, for so many years as a Vedic Kshatriya, they'd always have Brahmins around them who would speak on these subjects and advise the Kshatriyas how to act with not just the present situation, but the whole future of everyone in mind. That's why a murderer should be executed. That's a Kshatriya's duty for the benefit of the murderer. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the second chapter, Bhagavad Gita as it is, purport. So Arjuna, he knew these things, but sometimes hearing it really makes an impact, even though you know it, especially at a time of crisis, because in a time of crisis, often what happens is vinasha kale viparita buddhi. We tend to think in a time of crisis, we tend to adopt all kinds of strange ideas and do all wrong things, and we get carried away by what everyone else is doing. Just like in a war, people, they rush in and they'll rush in with all the bullets flying at you, and your chances of surviving are very few. But anyway, you go, because everyone else is going. It's almost ready to die. For what? For your country. What does that mean, to die for your country? What does it mean exactly? What it usually means is you die for the big businessmen and the politicians who are sitting there telling you to go and die for your country. So we should hear again and again these basic instructions. Yesterday, as I was having dental treatment for about 2 hours, you were reading Hrishikesh? For it was about 2 hours. From Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translations, word for verse, translation, word for word, verse translation and purports. And so powerful to hear it, even though I practically know what's coming, the next line, but it's so powerful, and then you get so inspired to want to distribute these to people. Yesterday in Vellore, in the midday talk I gave there, and I was talking about book distribution, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, and a common objection came up. Well, people don't read the books. And I said, well, I said, I'm not going to get into detail about this, but I, at the age of 18, in someone's house, picked up a book, which they'd got, Krishna book, which they hadn't read and had no intention of reading, and I read it. And I came to the temple, and I joined the temple. So you can't say the books don't have any effect. But if people read this, how powerful. Mama Virya Samvidaha, Kapila Dev speaks about the narrations about the powerful narrations about himself. What's the beginning of that verse? Satang prasangan mama virya samvidaha. That in the association of devotees hearing about Krishna. What's the next line? Say it loudly. Bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kataha. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse many times. It's very pleasing to the heart and the ear. It's like a tonic. Ah, ah. How good to hear this. And it's not just some kind of mental assuagement or mental massage for the mind, something that you do some meditation so you can, then you can go back to the material world. It's not just that, but what else is the effect? What is the effect? Taj Joshvanad? Tadjoshanad ashvarga vartmani. What is it? Apavarga vartmani. Then, shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. One positively advances on the path of liberation. One's faith, taste, and actual devotion, they, in order, they come about. So we should hear regularly this powerful message and distribute it and discuss it. Try to understand it for practical implementation in our life. Life isn't easy. We see everywhere these all kinds of electric appliances. LG is the company name. What does that mean? What does that stand for? I see. That's what it actually means. That's the name of the company. LG actually stands for life's good, or is that just something they made as a motto for advertising? Life's good, with the idea that if you buy our electrical appliance, your life will become good. And good in this sense doesn't mean to be a good person, like Vasudeva is trying to tell Kamsa to be a good person. But it means you'll get sense gratification. You'll feel good, which is the purpose of life. That's what Kamsa thought. But Vasudeva is reminding Kamsa that even if you want to feel good, you're going about it the wrong way. It's not just a matter. Of course, Krishna spoke to Arjuna on a different platform, that you have to do your duty. It's not a matter of feeling good. You feel good, Arjuna, by leaving the battlefield, but you have to do your duty. You have to do what makes me feel good. Krishna, the supremely egoistic person, tells Arjuna, don't think what you want to do is good. You have to do what makes me feel good. So did you find it out?
It was Lucky Gold Star.
Lucky Gold Star. Anyway, LG, life's good.
Their slogan is
life's good. But actually life is very complex. There are some basic principles which we learn from Bhagavad Gita. One basic principle is that if you try to get that which seems to be good on the sensual platform, it ends up being bad, disastrous. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Yehi svang sparshaja bhoga dukha yone evate adyantavanta kontayana teshu ramate buddhaha. One should not delight in the pleasure of the senses, because beginning, middle and end, it's a cause of distress. We also have in the 18th chapter, is it? Happiness in the mode of passion. What is that? Mritameva, Parinama. Yatadagre. No, that's the other one. Yatadagre, Vishameva, Parinama, Mritopamam. And then that's in the mode of good. Vishayendriya Sambhogam. Yatadagre, Mritopamam. Parinama, Vishameva. Tatsukam rajasam smritam. It's nectar! Sense enjoyment. It turns to poison. Happiness in the mode of passion. But the passion is so overwhelming that I have to enjoy myself now. And think that you'll have to suffer so much in future. But that understanding doesn't come. Therefore, we should associate with devotees. Keep in the association of devotees. And have others to look up to. If we don't have the developed spiritual intelligence to think, this is not good for me, we should think, what will my mother think? What will my grandmother think? What will my guru think? I don't want to bring shame upon them. That Krishna also told Arjuna, don't act in a way that will bring disgrace upon you. He was saying, I'll get disgrace upon me by fighting with my gurus. But Krishna told him, no, you'll be disgraced by not fighting. What is that? Sambhavitasya cha kirtir. Marana dati ritchada. You'll be scorned. It's worse than death for someone who's known prestige to the status that you have known it, and then you'll be scorned. It's worse. You better go out and get yourself killed. Better die fighting than run away from the fight. And there are so many stories of that. Especially in the history of the Rajputs, that the king comes back to his city defeated, and the queen closes the gates and says, you're not my husband. My husband doesn't come back defeated. So he goes back and he gets to certain death, and then all the women in the city burn themselves to death. Better than surrendering, better than admitting defeat. That's Kshatriya Bhav. That's not for everyone. Here in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada says, according to Vedic principles, a brahmana, an old man, a woman, a child, or a cow cannot be killed under any circumstances. That is explicit, right? Under any circumstances. A Brahmin, an old man, a woman, a child, or a cow cannot be killed under any circumstances. And the first killing that Krishna did was of a woman. And the first killing that Rama did was of a woman. Under any circumstances. Does God get an excuse? He's killing everyone. Mrityu sarva harascha aham. Ultimately, it's him who's killing everyone. But in his loka lila, his pastimes in this world, he acts as if a human, especially Rama. When he was told by who to kill who, killed a woman. He was killed a woman by the name of, being told by who. Here we have a keep you awake in the Bhagavatam class quiz. Rama was told by Vishwamitra to kill Tataka. You're doing that drama sometimes. Sometimes you used to do Ram Leela dramas here. And Rama said, well, that doesn't sound right. And then Vishwamitra told him, yes, it's right. And he gave Shastric evidence plus examples from previous histories. We find in Gita, Ya Shastra Vidimud Srija Vartate Tasmat Shastram Pramanante Karya Karya Vevastita. Therefore, one should act according to Shastra. But that's not the whole story. That's only the basics to act according to Shastra, because we have to act according to Shastra as it is taught to us by the Shishtas, the respectable people who follow Shastra, and according to the examples of others, because historical examples are given, just like Vishwamitra gave to Rama, historical examples, because women not to be killed under any circumstance. The same thing, Brahmin not to be killed under any circumstance. Ashvatthama, Brahmin, not to be killed. But then look what he did. He should be killed. So then you have conflicting injunctions, dharma sankat, conflicting instructions. Then what should be done? And Krishna gave a solution. You humiliate him, which is worse than death, but let the body live. So how is this all to be understood? That's why the Vedic system of jurisprudence, it's much more nuanced than that of Western jurisprudence, which is now at work in India, where you have the law and you're just supposed to follow it. But of course, in Western jurisprudence also, there is consideration of time, place, and circumstance. Srila Prabhupada said that during his business life, he was called to court once because he was purchasing raw alcohol for making medicines under government license, or he was manufacturing it under government license. And it was found out that the excess was being manufactured beyond the allowance and sold in the black market. So Prabhupada had to go to court, and he said, yeah, I'm responsible, I admit, but it was my manager doing it, and I'll be more careful and to say it doesn't happen in future. And he was acquitted. So according to the law, the magistrate should have punished him because he is responsible and that's the law. But he was acquitted. It was thought that the magistrate accepted his testimony that he wasn't aware of it and he'll make sure it doesn't happen again in future. So some human allowance is there. How exactly to judge in all circumstances. The Vedic system of jurisprudence was very much localized in the village. who would be, if there's some dispute or someone's done something wrong, who would adjudicate? That would be the people you knew and people who knew you. And it was usually done within the castes. The different castes would have to keep their own people under control. And there are different rules for different castes also, and different rules for different people. An old man may be forgiven for doing something, which a young man might not be. Or a child is regularly forgiven for doing things which an adult would not be, all the time, like pooping on the floor. They don't do that nowadays because they have nappies, diapers. But otherwise, my experience in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, in villages in Bengal, and kids just walking around and just poop on the floor, that's all. No one complains. It's just what kids do, right? And but as an older person, you don't do that. So there are different rules for different people. Even an older person might get away with it if he has diarrhea, although he'd probably have to be quarantined in some place where he's not walking around. So there are so many nuances in every situation, but our minds, generally our minds can't process so many different nuances. And that's why people tend to take extreme positions on everything. It's just so much easier to say, this person is good, this person is bad, finished. Whatever he does or says, he's insincere and must be wrong. And then we take extreme positions. But it's much more nuanced. And I see even intelligent people. I watched a 10-minute YouTube thing, which a godbrother sent to me. I get sent so many things to see on YouTube, which I don't watch, because how can you spend all your day watching things on YouTube? But this was, anyway, it was someone in England, it was some BBC or something like that. Something in England. And the interviewer made a disparaging remark about Putin, the head of the Russian Federation, if you don't know, Gospodin Putin, with the implication that if you don't think he's completely bad, you must think he's completely bad. Would you respect him? I would reply, yeah, I'd respect him. I would respect him because he's a very powerful person. And you respect him too. That's why you wouldn't even mention his name if he wasn't. It doesn't mean that you agree with what he does. But what he's doing, yeah. But there are nuances also. Because if you look at the history and then how there's provocation and this and that. So, but it's, and the person who's interviewing is very intelligent, but even the very intelligent people, we tend to think of things in a very, we make a decision about something and then we judge everything according to that. Human psychology is extremely complex. Extremely, extremely complex. Shastra helps us to try to make some kind of sense out of it. It can often be a group effort that we have to discuss with others to try to understand all the implications. Some things are very clear. We all have to die. That's the point in the verse today. Some things are very, very clear. We all have to die. We all have to get born again. We have to suffer or enjoy according to what we do in this life. So what we do in this life is so very, very important. These are some basic things. When it comes down to the details, it can be very, very complex. So we have to try and understand, especially when there are very complex situations, and especially when dealing with devotees, we have to try and understand, again, from Krishna's viewpoint. Putana was killed. Why? Rakshasi. Was she good? Was she good? No, she was going around killing all the babies. Of course, it's mostly all the demon babies. What about infanticide? Is that ever supportable? Killing babies? Never. Well, Vidura told Dhritarashtra to do that. When Duryodhana was born, Vidura said, look, kill this baby right now. Save yourself a lot of trouble. He didn't do it. So there's a case of infanticide. If you happen to know that Hitler, as a baby, he's probably a charming little baby. Babies tend to be charming. If you happen to know that in future he was going to be Hitler, would it be justified to kill him? These are the kinds of moral, ethical, philosophical questions that arise. Of course, nowadays we think that, well, you can't tell what's going to happen in future, so you can't say, but at least Vidura, he could understand. Vasudeva understands. Kamsa understands. Kamsa understood what he was doing was wrong. And he submitted to Vasudeva. But later, out of fear, ultimately it's fear. He was so powerful, but he was out of fear of babies that he started killing them one after the other. Even though he knew it was wrong, he accepted Vasudeva's petition, which he's making now, but later he forgot it again and started, under bad advice from his ministers, he started killing all the babies one after the other. So he had bad association. He surrounded himself by bad association and started killing the babies one after the other, even though he knew he would get a bad reputation for doing so. He knew that he would get bad karma for doing so. But still he did it. It's amazing how people, they know, a person in knowledge, how can a person in knowledge act in ways which are so wrong and so bad? So knowledge in itself is good, helpful, but it's not enough. We need good association also. And to help to keep our knowledge clear and to check us also, because we wouldn't do bad things if we're in the association of others who would not approve of that. That's why it's important that devotees always remain in the association of devotees. It's a common pattern we see. They go away from devotional association and they have so much knowledge, and then again, jnanam avritya dehinam, again their knowledge gets covered by association. Association is so important. Who said that? Hiranyakashipu. He also said, we find that quoted, I believe it's from Haribhakti Sudodai, one quote that comes up in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that by your association, it's just like your face may appear to be black or white or yellow or green or red, depending upon the light. So in the same way, we tend to reflect the association we get. It's so important to keep good association. So there are some thoughts on this verse today. So much more can be said. But there's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow until one time there's no tomorrow. And then we live the teachings of Bhagavad Gita by dying. We demonstrate yet again the truth of Bhagavad Gita by dying. But by hearing all these topics, we should die to live and go to Krishna. What's that verse? Actually, there are several verses in Gita. Gurukul, children, die, go to Krishna. Anyone? Any one of you? Getting a cue from Gaur Bhagavan there. Janma karma, is it that one? Janma karma chame divyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyagva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon quitting the body, take birth again, but goes to me, O Arjuna. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya turna kang padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushata medata ambravini. He sadhava sakala eva vyaya durad koranga chandra charne kuritanu rada. Parivada tu jano yata tatava nanumukaro navayam vichara yama. Hari rasama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So it is Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj ki.
Can you get this book covered? Plastic cover or some cover so that it doesn't get all torn?